And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And coming up this weekend, it's going to be busy at the Shreveport Little Theater as they have two separate productions going on this weekend. One of those beginning tonight at 7:30 p.m. at Shreveport Little Theater. It's a high-impact drama with some comic elements in it, Family Planning. It's a drama by Julia Edwards. And the performance takes place tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday. 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, Sunday at 2 p.m. And then in addition to that, the next performance in the New Voices radio series is called Ripcord. And that takes place Saturday at 2 p.m. Plus, they're going to have a workshop this weekend as well. It is going to be busy. And Robert Alford, Director of Family Planning, is here with me, along with John Daniels, the Director of the New Voices series. And Robert and John, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. So how did you guys get roped into such a busy weekend this weekend?
Long story.
It's the price of ambition.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's the price of theater. There you go. Robert, let's start with you. Can you tell me about Family Planning? This is, I got to admit, I'm not familiar with this play, but it is about folks who kind of hang out a little too long and plan their families later in life and some of the things that can happen along the way.
Yes, it's a really great play that I think doesn't get quite as noticed much as it should, but it's a play, as you said, about a couple in their late 30s who have been trying to have a baby for a while and have not been successful, and they're planning on this particular night to try once again. As far as the wife is concerned, she believes that this is really, she's getting close to her last chance to have a baby the natural way, and she really wants to do it that way. And even though it's not really a farce, it has kind of a farce element in the fact that the three people show up. One of them is a complete stranger. The other one is her husband's best friend, who she doesn't like very much, and then her mother-in-law, who she likes even less. So it's like the last two people in the world she wants to see, plus a complete stranger, all show up on the worst possible night.
Yeah, when you're planning a night, you don't want those folks to show up. So let's go into the plot line a little bit. Tell us how the story unfolds.
Well, basically, I mean, you know, like in all plays, you get exposition. You find out that there's this couple trying to have a baby, and then again all these strangers show up, and it's really about the conflict between the husband and the wife, who she really wants to get rid of the people, but the husband for various reasons doesn't want to, and it's really about the pressure that builds up, and also what's been going on with them leading up to the night. It's not just the fact that they're trying to get pregnant, but there's also issues in their marriage as well, which all kind of come to a head with the addition of the other people, which kind of said things that were simmering into a boiling point.
So some of the themes of this are, some difficult themes, marriage and miscarriage, planning families later in life and the problems that can concern that, mm-hmm. and also fertility treatments. Can you go into a little bit of the details on that?
Sure. I mean, basically, the family's wrestling with some of those things they've actually gone through, some of the things that she's afraid of. She hasn't done fertility treatments yet, but she has friends who have, and she wants to avoid that. But it's one of the reasons there's so much pressure on what's going on. She really wants to have a child the natural way and doesn't really want to adopt or do in vitro or anything like that. So she's been taking hormones, so that actually adds to her emotional state in the play, which is why she kind of reacts the way she does. But there have been conflicts in the marriage that have come from the disappointment of their failures to have a child so far. And, her being her career, she's an assistant DA, and he's a financier, but he's actually given up his job. He quit his job 9 months before, so they got financial issues as well. So just a whole lot of things, a lot of pressure that, like I said, kind of explodes in the course of the play.
So the best laid plans of ovulation in life.
Yes.
So who are the characters? Give us their names and how they relate to each other, and then we'll go into the cast.
Sure. The couple is Olivia and Hamish. They met in high school. They got married about 10 years later. So they were probably involved for a while, but they've been married for about 10 years. They got married when they were 28. Now they're 38. Then Olivia is the wife. Hamish is the husband. Then the best friend, Rosen. You find out that it's been a few years since they've actually talked. So it's not only does the best friend show up, it's the best friend that he's kind of become estranged from, mm-hmm. who shows up. His girlfriend, who is Jilly. Now, Rosen's married, but he's got a girlfriend on the side, so he shows up with his girlfriend.
And that probably doesn't set well with the wife,
no,
I imagine.
Doesn't, no, and then Hamish's mother, her name is Greta, she shows up as well. So.
And who is our cast? Who's going to be playing these characters?
So Olivia is played by Kelly R. Vaden. And Hamish is played by Michael Blake Powell. And then Rosen is played by James Palmer. Jilly, the girlfriend, is played by Allison Miller. And then the mother, Greta, is played by Marianne Archibald.
What is the interplay between the mother and the wife? I mean, obviously it's mother-in-law, daughter-in-law situation.
Yeah. Sometimes people do get in along with their mother-in-laws, even though the stereotype is people don't. But in this case, they do not get along at all. The mother-in-law actually admits towards the end that she really didn't ever think this was a good match between her son and Olivia. So they have tension right from the very beginning. So I did say there's some exposition, but actually Rosen and Jilly show up at the very beginning of the play, so you actually have this complication even before you meet Olivia. So, but the mother-in-law and Olivia do not get along at all, and it starts out bad and gets worse over the course of the play.
Is there without doing a spoiler, mm-hmm. is there a happy ending, so to speak, or a conclusion, or
a bittersweet ending? I would say. One of the main themes of the play is, besides disappointment, is hope. In fact, there's a monologue about hope and how that can cause you pain, in a sense, when it leads to disappointment. But I think that the ending is hopeful. I mean, after a lot of fireworks, there is an ending that suggests that there might be a possibility. I mean, and another thing, major theme of the play is miscommunication. So that's also important. It's a coincidence, but actually it turns out the cast, James Palmer, we did this play once before at LSUS in 2009, and James Palmer was playing the same part. He's the only one who was in the original production before. And he wrote and directed the movie Anniversary, which won the film prize this year.
Oh, okay.
And then Kelly Vaden, she was in that, co-starred in that. So we have two people from Anniversary in that. Actually, three if you count that, because I had a small part in it as well. But so that's a brief connection
Robert
to
was
that.
Hilarious.
So there's an anniversary to Family Plan.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great joke.
Yeah, you got to throw those in where you get them.
They play opposite in this. That's what's interesting. They're actually playing opposite in this. They're not playing a couple in this.
Right.
But they were a couple in Anniversary.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about the staging of this, what we're going to see? And a lot of this takes place in the kitchen, does it not?
Well, about half of it. I mean, basically, the original production in the Los Angeles area, it was done in an innovative production, site-specific. So they actually found four families to donate their houses. And they actually, they moved from each house to each one different week. So it ran for 4 weekends, and they actually had it in a house, an actual house, and so the audience would follow the actors from the living room into the kitchen. But in our production, of course, we have a set, so one half of the set is the living room, the other half is the kitchen, and the actors move back and forth. So one of the challenges of doing the play is that when people are, for instance, when the focus is in the living room, then you have actors who have to be not freezing, but continuing to act, but quietly in the living room and vice versa. So you have to be in this play, you have to learn how to be on stage for 20 or 30 minutes at a time where you're not saying anything.
but you're acting nonetheless. Testing their mime skills. So
yeah.
Let's talk about the creative team a little bit, and then I want to hear about Julia Edwards, the author of this.
The creative team, most of the plays at Cerebral Little Theater are designed by a group of people who work on all of them. So Derek Shiploff is the one who directed that set. This is a Lagniappe production. We have five main stage productions at Cerebral Little Theater, and then we have Lagniappe productions, which are a little bit more provocative in nature. This particular play has a lot of strong language, including profanity and serious themes, which is not quite often happening in the main stage season. So it's a Lagniappe production. So with the Lagniappe productions, the sets tend to be a bit more simple in nature. So you did a great job of suggesting this house of a well-to-do family with a minimal set, but it's a really beautiful set as well. So, and then the costumes by Peggy San Pedro. Mary Joris, who's a great director, also is our property supervisor. And then we have Carrie Cannon and Bailey Jones, who are running our lights and sound. And then Liz Wong is our stage manager.
Okay. And so the audience should really bring their imagination to this, which is one of the things that I like about theater.
Mm-hmm.
You can simply put a box up and suggest a window, mm-hmm. and a couch, and the rest is up to the imagination. So like reading a good book, you get mm-hmm. to fill in your own details.
That's right.
So bring your imagination along with this. And there's going to be a workshop with the playwright on Saturday morning, is there not?
Yes, the playwright is her husband, Gary Goodman, is originally from Freeport. They live in the Los Angeles area. But through a grant from the Shreveport Regional Arts Council and the Louisiana Division of the Arts, we're going to be able to have the playwright be here. So she'll be here all day long tomorrow. We're doing a workshop, a free workshop at noon. So if you'd like to come to that, just email robert.alford@lsus.edu to get a space in that workshop. She'll be talking about the art of creativity and how what it takes to come up with ideas and to make them come to fruition. So that'll be from noon to 1 tomorrow. Ripcord, which is the stage reading, will be at 2 o'clock. And then there'll be a meet and greet with the playwright at 6:30 tomorrow night, an hour before the show, and then the show will be 7:30. And then we're also doing an after-show talk with the cast and crew and Miss Edwards. So she will be here as part of a residency all day long tomorrow, Saturday.
Busy weekend at Shreveport Little Theater. And John, you've got the next production of your Reader's Theater. This is a New Voices series. This is about introducing new plays to the Shreveport audience in a Reader's Theater setting, which is without the stage drama and acting. They're sitting, they're reading, but they're playing out the characters, not merely reading. They are dramatizing the characters with their voice and body language and things like that. So a little more mime active and a little less movement active kind of production. So tell us about Ripcord. This takes place in a nursing home, does it not?
Yes, Ripcord is a hilarious, wacky comedy by David Lindsay Abaire, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning playwright. And it takes place in a nursing home, and it centers on two elderly ladies, Abby and Marilyn. And Abby is a kind of a cantankerous lady. She's always had this room to herself, and Marilyn has been put into the room against Abby's will, and Abby basically wants Marilyn out. And Marilyn says, well, okay, well, let's make a bet. If I can scare you, then I get to keep the room and I get the bed by the window. And if you can annoy me or anger, actually, I think it's believe, if you can make me angry, I will move out. And so this bet gets rather out of hand. Let's just say they end up in some wacky places, one of which is skydiving. And one of which ends up there against her will. So it gets pretty crazy.
I just got scared right there, mm-hmm. So I'm giving up the room. So yeah. How old are these ladies?
in the play, you know, it's suggested that, you know, they're probably in their 60s or 70s. So it's pretty wild. You couldn't picture, you know, ladies of that, you know, age doing these sorts of things. That's what makes the play so great.
Well, you know, George H.W. Bush, I think, did something like that. He went skydiving when he in his post-presidency, one of those bucket list things, you know, that you wanted to do. So maybe they're just, you know, I don't know, that's a bucket list I'd like to get rid of while my knees still work. So so tell us about the cast of this, and you've got, it's more than just two people in this, so who do you have and who are they playing?
We have Jan Adams is playing Marilyn. And we've got Debbie Posey is playing Abby. And Debbie usually plays like, you know, happy-go-lucky characters. So this is kind of interesting watching her play like this cantankerous character. So this is actually kind of fun. Let's see. I am playing one of the orderlies at the home. Kind of against type for me, too, because I'm playing kind of a happy-go-lucky person, which I'm totally not. Let's see. We've got the person that's directing this reading, Karen Rimmer. Her sister, Angela Thomas, is in it. She plays Marilyn's daughter, Colleen. And then we have Alan Matheson, who is actually one of our technical wizards up at the theater. He is taking on a part. He's playing Colleen's husband, so that's Marilyn's son-in-law. And then let's see, we have Karen's husband is also joining us. He's playing multiple parts, so he gets to try on various hats. He's playing your random characters in the play. So
and in a Reader's Theater, all of this action and drama is suggested by the actors through the use, literally, of their voice and facial expressions and a little bit of body language. That's the challenge for the Reader's Theater.
Yes, the actors will be seated. They will have their scripts in front of them on little, you know, music stands. And it's, you know, it's all about, you know, experiencing the characters and, you know, kind of imagining what, you know, should be there. And we will have, you know, the director will be reading all the stage directions. So you'll, you know, be told, you know, what would be there, you know, if you were actually watching the play. And Afterwards, you will get to fill out anonymous comment cards where you'll actually, you know, tell us what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, and whether you'd like to see a full production of it in the future, so that we can gauge, you know, your interest in whether or not you'd like, you know, to actually see an actual production of it.
I want to see
you know, this is meant to be an incubator for new work at the theater.
I want to see a couple of 70-year-old ladies skydive into the
I know, I really want to do this place, so I'm hoping people will, you know, like this one.
Well, what should they bring in terms of their selves to this? There's some room for interaction in some of these plays, is there not, between the audience and the characters?
Oh, definitely. This is, I mean, you know, this one doesn't exactly have, you know, audience interaction. This one doesn't. But, I mean, it's still hilarious, and we expect, you know, people to laugh and, you know, applaud and, you know, talk. I mean, you know, I want people to really feel comfortable with this. I mean, this one is just so wacky, and, you know, the script itself had a little bit of language in it, but I've taken that out so that, you know, everybody can come and feel comfortable with this one. So, you know, I don't want anybody to think that they can't, you know, come and see this one. You know, this one's for everybody. And it's just, it's so sweet, and it's touching, and it ends on such a beautiful note. But more than anything, it is hilarious.
Okay, so why don't you tell us about, you know, the show times and how do folks get more information about all this?
Okay, Ripcord is Saturday at 2 p.m. It's free. Just, you know, show up a little bit before, you know, 2 p.m. and grab a seat. It's first come, first serve. You don't need tickets. You just have to show up. You know, these reader theaters are, you know, they're free, but, you know, you have to grab, you know, come grab a seat. Cerebral Theater is at 812 Margaret Place. It's right next to the Women's Department Club. Do you want to give information on?
Sure. Family planning is tonight and Saturday and Sunday. Tonight and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. You can buy tickets online at truebertlittletheater.com, or you can also call the theater. And then there is the show on Sundays at 2 p.m. So, again, Saturday night only, there will be a meet and greet at 6:30 with the playwright and the cast and crew, and an after-show talk for those people who have tickets to the show that night. And then there's a free workshop at noon on Saturday the 25th, available to anyone, but you should email me at robert.alford.lsus.edu to reserve a space for that workshop.
So, yeah, come for the workshop and then stay for the reading.
Yeah. All right. And you got any final thoughts you want to share with folks? Get them out there to the theater.
Well, it's a lot of fun. I mean, they're both funny plays. Now, Family Planning is kind of a roller coaster. It goes back and forth between funny and being very serious. So that's good to know about that. Then Ripcord, of course, is a hilarious comedy by a playwright who writes both dramas and comedies. So that one's going to be a fun way to do. So you can spend the whole day at the theater if you want to. And the one at noon, the workshop and the play reading are free. Family Planning is $15 for all tickets.
John, any final thoughts?
I just want everybody to come out and have a great time this weekend. We really love putting on these new New Voices series readings for everybody, and I'm really hoping this continues. So we need you guys to come out and support this, please.
It's going to be a busy weekend at Shreveport Little Theater, and John and Robert, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Robert Alford, the Director of Family Planning, and John Daniels, Director of the New Voices series. Both of them joined me to discuss two new productions that are taking place this weekend at Shreveport Little Theater. Family Planning by Julia Edwards and Ripcord, part of the New Voices Readers series. And Family Planning will feature performances tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. Ripcord will feature a live read on stage Saturday at 2 p.m. Shreveport Little Theater is located at 812 Margaret Place in Shreveport. Information on both shows can be found at shreveportlittletheater.com or by calling 318-424-4439. That's 318-424-4439. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.